this is a pretty juicy story we just heard. But I think that some of its salaciousness kind of gets lost in the way that it's written. So I'm going to give you a bit of a recap. So this is a story about Herod, the Roman emperor in the territory of Israel. Herod is just about as over the top as you can get. When I visited the Holy Land, we went to Herodion, which was it's the ruins of Herod's great desert palace, kind of like his cottage. Well, there was this crater-like thing, right? So there's all these ruins, and then there's this big kind of hole. And our guide encouraged us to try and guess what this hole might have been. It took us ages to figure it out, and I'm not even sure. I think we had to be told in the end. Because in the middle of the desert, like the desert, beside his palace, Herod had a giant swimming pool built, big enough for a boat to float on. In the desert, a pool. I can't even begin to imagine how they filled it with water. But that was what Herod did. He was so over the top, just because he was Herod and he could. And so that maybe gives you just a tiny bit of a glimpse into the kind of man he was. And so in this story, we hear that Herod, he actually kind of liked John the Baptist. It says that he was kind of entranced by him. Herod never quite fully understood what John was saying, but that he was always intrigued. And because of this strange fascination and this knowing somehow that John was indeed a righteous man, Herod had protected John the Baptist up until now and had kept him from being killed, even though his wife wanted him dead. The wife, Herodias is her name. There's a good story here. She used to be the wife of Herod's brother. And the details are a little bit sketchy, but it really seems like there's a bit of a David and Bathsheba thing going on, right? Herod decides he wants what isn't his and takes it anyway. Again, why? Because he's Herod. That's what he does. So now it's his birthday, and he decides to throw himself a party, a banquet. And you can only begin to imagine what that would have been like. Imagine music by the pool, sailboat races, drinking, lounging around, perhaps even at his palace in the desert. In the midst of the festivities, his daughter, also named Herodias, comes out to dance. It's not entirely clear whether this is his wife's daughter from her first husband or whether it's Herod's own daughter. And I guess we leave that a little bit up to our imagination. But either way, Herod is so pleased with her dancing that he tells her that he will give her whatever she wants, even half of his kingdom. And he says it in front of everybody who is gathered. I suspect that Herod, being so entranced by riches and flamboyance as he is, completely expected her to ask for something that money would buy. Well, the daughter, she walks over to her mother for advice. What should I ask for? And mom, having this grudge that she knows cannot be satisfied in any other way, says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Well, the girl, perhaps just for a little bit of flair, doesn't just ask for John the Baptist's head, but asks for it on a platter. Well, now Herod has a dilemma, doesn't he? he hasn't wanted to kill John, but now he has said publicly that he'll give this girl anything she wants. Half his kingdom, even, he says. And she doesn't want half of his kingdom. All she wants is a man's head. So what is he going to do? Does he follow his conscience? What little he has demonstrated to have? Or does he show himself to be a man of his word? What would you do? Honestly, in a situation, do you go along with the pressure you feel from the people around you? Or do you stand your moral ground? Do you follow your faith and say, no, I'm not going to do that, or that is not who I am, or even, that is not okay? Or do you go along and stay silent so as not to ruffle feathers or stand out and cause a scene? Einstein said, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything about it." I don't know about you, but that kind of hits me a little close to home. More and more, I am aware of how unaware I am of the privilege that I enjoy in my daily life, of all the things that I take for granted. And I am aware of how very little effort I put into writing the myriad injustices that I see. I think that many of you can relate to me when I say, I get overwhelmed. How can I possibly make a difference? It's all too much. It's too big. There's too many of them. I'm powerless in the grand scheme. Edmund Burke said, "Nobody makes a greater mistake than those who do nothing because they could only do little." No one makes a greater mistake than those who do nothing because they could only do little. Herod was afraid to allow himself to look foolish, and his wife was keenly aware that his pride was going to win out. And that cost John the Baptist his life, his head. That's evidence of the great irony of fate that often befalls those who cry out, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Those who cry out for justice, for mercy, those who use their hands and feet and voice to work for a world that looks more like the kingdom of God. But again, then, I must ask, who do we choose to be? Are we people who follow the whims of the tyrants and leaders whose policies and decisions are unjust? Or do we follow the voice that calls us child? Do we follow the example of Jesus, who would never sacrifice another for his own pride? In fact, Jesus did the very opposite. In the face of all adversity, Jesus allowed himself to be tried and convicted and executed, all in the name of mercy. In order to usher in a new reality, a new kingdom, a new era where life comes from letting go of all the things that we think that we need to do and to be in order to be something. Jesus shows us that making decisions based on our pride or our fears will never lead us to new life. Only the way of justice and mercy and love will lead us to new life. It may very well be that what we can do is small. It might be a letter to your local MP or MPP. It might be offering a meal to just one homeless person. It may be a smile of welcome to a person who doesn't look like you. It might be a few dollars to support refugee resettlement. It might be learning something about the injustices facing our Indigenous sisters and brothers right here in Canada. Indeed, it might be small. Sisters and brothers, it will be something. Gandhi said, "You may never know what results come of your actions, but if you do nothing, there will be no results." So do something. Do something, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Your hands. My hands. So may we use our hands and our voices to bring that kingdom closer to us all. Amen.